Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Two prior broadcasts, we have discussed possession by the devil and getting the devil out. And we found that, in fact, it is possible, and we see from the scripture cases where the devil has possessed somebody. It's not that he owns a Christian. He can't do that. But he can, by definition, possess a Christian. That is, he can influence him and he can control him. And so we saw that. And if you were not able to get that broadcast, you want to go to the website and pick that up. It was 2 days ago. And then in the prior broadcast, we saw how to get the devil out. That is, if you find that the devil has an undue influence, there is a possession, then what to do about it? And you really want to listen to that. Now, this broadcast is on keeping the devil out. That is, you realize that he could possess you, but he's not. If he was ever in you before, he's not now. But you know how the devil is. He tries to get us off track, and so we need to see how to keep him out. These are precautions that can help you keep the devil from influencing you and in controlling you. He's so subtle, and we are so weak. And we are so easily influenced by his temptations. So let's see what keeping the devil out requires. Keeping the devil out requires, first of all, humility. Humility. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. I realize in 1 Timothy chapter 3 you're looking at the qualities of a bishop. But we can start here because you see what happens. The man is in a position of authority. And look what happens. 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 6. This man should not be a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Lest being lifted up with pride, he fall in the condemnation of the devil. We must be careful in keeping the devil out through our spiritual warfare, not to be lifted up with pride. Look at another verse of Scripture. Turn to James chapter 4. Because you might think that 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6 is exclusively for a pastor. But look at James chapter 4 and notice the cross-reference. James chapter 4, look at verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Look at verse 6 for the context. He giveth more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. And so forth. When Christians are attacked by the devil, they often unwisely get into a conversation with the devil. And I've heard preachers talking as if they're talking to the devil and talking how they're going to, I heard one preacher say, tie a knot in the devil's tail and kick him off the platform. Listen, don't do that. That's pride. You and I are no match for the devil. Just submit to God and resist the devil at the same time. And the reason is, it is the Lord who is the one that takes the devil on, not you. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 4. You know, if anybody could have, you would think, stood in for a fight with the devil, it would have been somebody like Paul. But look what Paul says in 2 Timothy 4:17. He had to give an answer when he was before Caesar. And he says in 2 Timothy 4:17, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. In verse 16, he said at my first answer, no man stood with me. But in 17, he says, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, watch it, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. You know who did that for him? The Lord. The Lord stood with me. The Lord strengthened me. So Paul made it abundantly clear that when you're doing battle to keep the devil out, you need the Lord Jesus Christ to fight that battle. And the way to make sure that he's the one doing the fighting and not you is to stay humble. Keeping the devil out requires humility. Jesus is your shepherd, and he is the one who will keep the devil out. John chapter 10, look at verses 10 and 11. John chapter 10, verses 10 and 11. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. So there's your protector, the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, secondly, keeping the devil out requires not only humility, but listen, it requires faith. Faith. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So the devil is a roaring lion. He is our adversary. He walks about seeking whom he may devour, and we are to resist him. How? Steadfast in the faith. So keeping the devil out requires faith. Look at Ephesians chapter 6 at verse 16. In the discussion on the or in the passage on the whole armor of God, the Bible says, above all, taking the shield of faith, Ephesians 6:16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. It takes faith. Now listen, people believe the Bible by faith. When you say, I believe the Bible, or I say, I believe the Bible, I believe it by faith. I understand it by revelation. Take Peter, for instance. He believed that Jesus Christ was the Messiah long before that truth was revealed to him. That's faith. Later, in Matthew 16:17, God revealed to Peter that Jesus was the Christ. Jesus was discussing with his disciples, whom do men say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Lord said to him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. That truth was revealed to him in Matthew 16:17. But man, he believed that long before he understood it. God revealed to Peter that Jesus was the Christ. That's understanding. But do you know something? Peter did not have to understand that Jesus was the Christ in order to believe that Jesus was the Christ. Do you see that? In other words, there are a lot of things in the Bible that you believe or should believe that you don't understand and probably won't understand until you actually get to sit down and talk about him with Jesus Christ. Now, when Jesus explained to Peter and the disciples that he would die in Matthew chapter 16, verse 21, Peter rebuked Jesus Christ. Why? Because he did not believe that Jesus had to die. That was his problem. And you know what that was? That was a lack of faith. Of course, Peter would not have understood it. This truth was not revealed to Peter until after the resurrection. In Luke chapter 24, in verses 44 through 46, the Lord opened the scriptures and opened their understanding, and then they could put it all together. But before that, he couldn't put it together. Hey, but Jesus Christ expected him, Peter, to believe. That's why Christ told him, I'm going to have to go to Jerusalem. I have to die, but I'll be raised the third day. He wanted them to believe that. Well, Peter could not possibly have understood all the implications of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ until they were revealed to him. And so what happened is, listen, Peter left himself open to an attack by the devil. He did. In Luke chapter, I'm not talking about just the one where the Lord rebukes him in Matthew 16. I mean much later than that, right before the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look what the Lord says to him in Luke chapter 22, verses 31 and 32. The Lord said to Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Well, you know what happened? He ended up denying the Lord three times. Why? Because he did not believe what the Bible said. He refused to believe it. And why did he refuse to believe it? He couldn't understand it. You know, the devil often trips up people by making them believe that they must understand something before they can believe it. But understanding is not the weapon. Faith is the weapon. The shield of faith, that's the weapon. And you don't have to understand all there is to know about the Bible in order to have faith in it. You take the shield of faith, and that's what you use to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Faith, listen, faith is one of the greatest weapons in our warfare. Turn to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 and look at verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So keeping the devil out of your life requires, first of all, humility. It's Jesus that does the fighting. It is Jesus that provides the deliverance. You submit to God and resist the devil. And then it requires faith. And that is, you must be in the Bible, you must believe what the Bible says, and then that becomes a shield that will quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Here's the third thing. In order to keep the devil out, here's the third thing. Keeping the devil out requires, listen, the whole armor of God. We've already dealt with one piece of it in Ephesians chapter 6, 16, but go back to Ephesians chapter 6 and look at verses 10 through 18. Ephesians chapter 6, look at verses 10 through 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong. Look at it. Here it is again. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. See the humility? Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand an evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand, therefore. Number one, having your loins girt about with truth. Having your loins girt about with truth. So, the girdle. It's like in reading in the Old Testament, you'll read about Joab, for instance, and he was girded. He had a strap around his waist, and attached to that was a scabbard where he kept his sword, okay? That's, you're girded there with the truth. And I like that, loins girded about with the truth. This is not just something that's in your head that you can have a knowledgeable discussion about. This becomes a fighting thing. This becomes a guiding thing. When your loins are girded about with the truth, that truth is in you. You have digested it, and it is leading and guiding you. And then having on the breastplate of righteousness. You know, it's not enough just to know what the Bible says and have it digested. It's another thing to believe it and to live by it so that you are walking in righteousness. It becomes a breastplate. It protects your heart. It protects your chest. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You know, one of the hardest things for Christians to do is to be always prepared to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the greatest ways for you to be prepared when your feet are shod with the gospel, preparation of the gospel of peace, one of the greatest ways to do that is to have your purse or your pocket loaded with tracts. And that way, when you're out and you don't have time to get into a discussion about the things of the Lord, or that discussion doesn't go that way, or you can't find a way to make it go that way, you can give them a tract and the tract will speak. You've done something. You've delivered the gospel. Above all, taking the shield of faith, we've talked about that, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, got to be saved, and the sword of the Spirit, man, that's the Word of God. And you know something? There are a lot of Bibles on the market. This is not a discussion or a sermon today on the differences in translations. I'm going to tell you something. There's one Bible in the universe that the devil fears, and it's this King James Bible. That is right. I realize there are people say, I think it's hard to understand, blah, blah, blah. I got all that, heard all that. This Bible is errorless. The more time you spend in it and the more time it spends in you, the more you know about it, the stronger you get, and the more powerful the weapon. And the devil doesn't like this book. That's one of the reasons that there are so many modern translations in English today, is to take out of the hands of Christians the main weapon, one of the main weapons, which is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. That's the whole armor of God. The armor of God has six pieces that protect everything on your body but your knees and your back. Did you notice that? Six pieces that protect your head, your chest, your loins, shield your body, sword of the Spirit, protect your feet. Those pieces don't protect your knees. They don't protect your back. You know why? Because we stand in this battle by kneeling in prayer. That's one of the reasons that your time is so pressured these days to keep you off your knees. And you and I deal with that every single day. We have to be so careful to get that time in prayer. And the other reason that the other part of your body is not protected, that is your back, the Christian, there is no retreat. When you turn your back to the devil and run, you are exposed. You must stand. You must use the shield of faith to quench his fiery darts. You can't turn and run. He'll get you right in the back. You must use the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, just like Jesus did when he was tempted in Matthew chapter 4. Every time he was attacked, he quoted Scripture until the devil left him alone. And I'm telling you, if you'll get this Scripture memorized down in your heart, it will be such a powerful weapon. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You really have to take the time to memorize that Bible and go over it. It is such a valuable, valuable weapon in keeping the devil out. Keeping the devil out requires humility, faith, the whole armor of God, and then this, the blood of Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. The discussion is about the blood of bulls and goats and the comparison to the blood of Christ. And in Hebrews 9, 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Look again at a similar passage in Psalm 51. Psalm 51. After the terrible sin with Bathsheba, David wrote this psalm. And in Psalm 51 in verse 10, he said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." He does that through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what happens is, although Jesus shed his blood on Calvary nearly 2,000 years ago, it still saved you when you trusted Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, Colossians 1:14 says. So in the same way that it saved you, the blood of Christ is currently available to you to purge your conscience from dead works, to serve the living God. So when you sense that you are being tempted by the devil, plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that way, when you're in spiritual warfare, the same triumph that Christ had at Calvary, he will have in your life. Turn to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Look at verses 14 and 15. Watch this. When Jesus Christ was on Calvary, dying, the Bible says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances, Colossians 2:14 and 15. blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. That blood of Jesus Christ was a triumph over the devils. It's the crucified life. It's Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And I'm telling you, that blood will come down there. The Lord Jesus Christ will get in that battle. That is one thing the devil doesn't like, is the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't like the book. He doesn't like this King James Bible. He doesn't like it when you have faith in this book. He doesn't like it when you humble yourself so that Jesus Christ is the one doing the fighting. He can't beat Jesus Christ. He doesn't like it when you're armed with the whole armor of God. And I'll give you one other thing that will really help you to keep the devil out. Romans 8:6. It's spiritual mindedness. Spiritual mindedness. Really help you keep the devil out. All right, look in Romans chapter 8, verse 6. The Bible says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." To be spiritually minded is life and peace. All right, that's spiritual mindedness. Now, what you do is simply something you've heard me say really over and over again because it's so very, very important, and that is to think on spiritual things. Paul says this, "Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." Now, if you think on those things, they will keep you from being carnally minded, which is death. To be carnally minded is death. Now, the trouble with most of us is that we keep our minds filled with distractions of the flesh. And the devil can have a heyday in minds like that. So what you and I must do is we must be renewed in the spirit of our minds. That's what Paul told us in Ephesians 4:23. In Ephesians 4:23, Paul said, "Be renewed in the spirit of your mind." Now watch this. You will go through seasons where your mind doesn't stray, where your mind doesn't think about some of those things that the devil uses to tempt you. And then you go through other seasons where it seems like you can't think about anything else but those things. And you know what? When you're in a season where you are really having those distracted thoughts, those tempting thoughts like that, you know what's happened? What's happened is that you have not been spiritually minded. There, you have been distracted by thinking about so many other things. It's the same thing we've said before. What you must do is you must recognize that I am allowing myself to be pulled into and entangled by the things of the world and causing my mind to start spinning on these other things. The devil seems to like that situation in our lives and then brings up these other distracting and tempting thoughts at those times. But when you're renewed in the spirit of your mind, you'll get into the Bible and you'll get on your knees. And then what happens is your thoughts go back to those things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and of good report. Now, the best way to get back on track is to read plenty of Bible. As Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27, don't give place, neither give place to the devil. Neither give place to the devil. In other words, don't get wrapped up in these things that start pulling your mind back out of the spiritual mindedness that you need to be able to protect yourself from the devil. Our thoughts really need to be in captivity to the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 6, one of the most fabulous passages of Scripture. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. 2 Corinthians 10:4, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. See that humility there? God's got to do the fighting, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. There you go. That's what you want, is you want your mind brought back into obedience of Christ, so that you are able then to really concentrate on His things and not be left open to the things that the devil wants to throw at you. Now remember one thing. When you're talking about having your thoughts in captivity to the Lord Jesus Christ, God can read your mind. So don't pretend to God that you are thinking something good when you are really thinking evil thoughts. You're used to pretending in front of other people so they don't realize how, you know, wicked your thoughts really are sometimes. You're used to pretending to other people that you're a better Christian than you really are because you don't want them to know how life really is. But don't do that to God, because He can read what's going on in your thoughts, and you'll get up like Ananias and Sapphira and start lying to God. That's not going to do you any good. The Word of God in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And verse 13 says, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do." Now, He knows what's going on. And just get in there and agree with Him, because the Lord's the one that's got to do the fighting for you, okay? So what's happened now in these last three broadcasts, the one today and the prior two, is that we've seen some things about the devil and what kind of relationship he can have with Christians. The devil can possess Christians. Some Christians are taken captive by him at his will. We've seen that Christians can get the devil out by practical spiritual means, like being filled with the Spirit and turning from your sin and straightening out your doctrine and things like that. And then today we've seen that you can keep the devil out by practical spiritual means. Listen, the Bible is the truth, and it shows us how to use the truth to strengthen ourselves against spiritual attacks. Go in that truth, and may God bless you when you do. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. 6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.